All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to Africans Talk Football TV. What's going on? How's everybody feeling tonight?
Very good. Blue, man. Just a little blue.
Sky blue. I'm feeling sky blue. You feel me?
Yeah. I see you decided to put on blue today, Salam. Is that because that's the color of Manchester, or what are we doing? What are we doing today?
He said it's mental health awareness.
It is what it is, yeah.
Mental health. It's glad to see you, you know, back in the East Coast. I guess you've always been on the East Coast, back up north.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know you're out of town. You had matches this weekend down in Florida. Actually, how'd the games go?
It was good, man. Played some good competition. Sorry, I'm chewing. Played some good competition. Definitely had a good showing. And we got our league games coming up this upcoming weekend, so I'm just looking forward to getting that on and cracking this weekend. We play y'all team. We play two teams from Cleveland this weekend, so I hope they're ready for smoke.
We'll see. We'll see.
If they from Cleveland, they the one bringing the smoke.
I hope you've been here.
It's been slow. I hope you know. On your trip to Cleveland, you're well rested and well traveled, and you know, no hiccups and hiccups in getting there.
I'll be with you guys the night before, so we'll see.
So if he doesn't show up,
yeah, you know where to find me,
man. But looking forward to it, absolutely. Thanks again to all of our friends out there that have been listening to us this whole season. It's honestly been one of the more exciting seasons. Honestly, like, definitely since this decade started, I would say, even though Man City is still, you know, clearly in the race, it's a three-legged race right now. Liverpool is leading the league, and, you know, Arsenal's really right there for real, probably the best playing team in the league right now, to be honest. So, yeah, this league has been fun. We have Champions League coming up as well, so it's just been a whole bunch going on this year, and I feel like, for maybe like 2-3 years, maybe even a little bit longer than that, since the last World Cup, I feel like there was a little bit of a dip in football. I feel just like across the board, the quality, and we might have even said it on this podcast a few times. We felt like there, you know, we knew the Ronaldo and Messi era was coming to an end. We saw it slowing down for sure. And we were kind of looking for that next new crop of superstars, so to speak. You know, we knew Mbappe was there. We knew Haaland was there, but they were still kind of young. You know, even though Mbappe had his World Cup, you know, these guys were still very, very young. And now, you know, in 2024, looking at where we're at, I feel like football's kind of picked up again. You know, we actually have really, really dominant teams. We have very good players, you know, across the board in all the leagues. And we're starting to see, I feel like it's starting to pick back up. I don't know if y'all feel the same way. I just kind of wanted to start off by asking y'all, like, do y'all feel we're in a better state? You know, we kind of know where Ronaldo and Messi are. They're, you know, they're still playing, definitely, but their run has come to an end, so to speak, their run of terror. And we're starting to see new faces emerge as, like, what's going to be the next faces of the league when we look at this young Madrid team, how they completely overhauled and how their core is all 23, 24, 25. What do y'all think about the state of world football right now and where it's headed?
Go ahead, Tola.
I would say, like, considering the, you know, the Champions League format changing up too, there's just a lot of change. It's a very, like, I think in some ways club football – and the Club World Cup is next summer. That's going to be a whole tournament again. So there's a lot of things on the horizon that seems like new things. And then on top of that, like you said, I mean, Bayern's about to lose the league. That literally hasn't happened in 10 years. So we're seeing like I think people realize there's a power vacuum forming, Klopp leaving. And it's just like everybody's rushing to make their statement. So it's definitely, I think a lot of people are motivated more than ever.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an, it's evolving. Definitely. I think, in my opinion, since Messi and Ronaldo, I feel like there really hasn't been someone to like that stature. But that doesn't necessarily make them bad players by any means. But, yeah, I mean, I think Real Madrid is a prime example of, you know, like the direction of football now and where it's going, and with the young guys, especially with how many games these guys are having to play. You got to get guys that are able to, you know, play two games in a week, fresh legs. And I also think that the game is also changing as well, too. So, like, you know, what we define as a good player, that's changing. The game nowadays, I feel like, is very system focused. A lot of coaches are looking for players that, you know, can fulfill like a specific role, as opposed to, you know, I guess showcasing like what makes them, you know. There's a lot of talented players that you see them go to these teams and they almost kind of have to like simplify themselves just to kind of fit, you know, into the team. And that's just where football's headed. But yeah, nonetheless, I still think that there's a lot of young talent. I think that there's a lot of like good young guys now in the present, like Mbappe, Jude, Haaland. But then you also have guys like, and I'm not saying this just because like I'm a United fan, but guys like, you know, Emenu, Oscar Bob, you know, like that's like the next gen of guys. Even guys like Musiala, I mean, he's young, but yeah, man, football's in a good place right now.
I agree. I like what you said about how the game has kind of evolved into kind of, can you fit this role, instead of showcasing who they are. Because I mean, growing up in the 2000s, we saw a lot of just individual talents go to big teams and allow them to be who they were. But now a lot of the big teams are looking for someone to fit in a system. And, you know, whether you think it's good or bad for the game, you know, you're just seeing a lot more system play. And I think that comes down to how much better the coaches are getting. You know, at the end of the day, these are managers that are putting 11 players on a pitch and saying, hey, can you guys go win a game? This is how I want you to play. And now we're seeing, I feel like, you know, the era of managers being very, very instrumental on how a team can be set up to win. Because, you know, you look at the top teams right now and you look at who's leading the ship and you're like, yeah, we might not have the most talented guys, but I know if I have a seven and a player who's going to run hard and play at a seven every week, he can be my right back. If I know I have someone that can be creative but also can be defensive, he can be my six. He can be my eight. So we're seeing a lot of, we can make it work with what we have based on who we, you know, based on who's setting us up. And so certain teams are going to get by just because they have the talent, and certain teams are going to get by because of managing. And when you see that puts, you know, come together, we see teams like City, Liverpool, we see teams like Madrid. So I think it's just, you know, the game's evolving, the players are getting better, but so are the managers. We're seeing, you know, both at a very, very high level. So I don't know, it's kind of dope to see. But you know, let's just hop into the games, because we had a whole bunch going on this week. I guess we can go ahead and start with, you know, the reason why our man Solo is here today. Manchester Derby. I'm going to let you know, Solo, I've watched more Manchester City games with my buddy who's a Man City fan. I've probably watched it with more Man City fans than I've ever seen in my entire life this year. I've probably watched three or four matches live with him, and both Chelsea matches, and then I watched this Derby. So this is the third match I've watched with him. And
Shout him out.
Yeah, shout out my boy Zion. Yay. Shout out my boy Z. Zion. Yeah, I mean,
Zion, Solo, and Taylor, the only Manchester City fans we know.
I mean, we go to this bar here in Cleveland, it's a little town called Ohio City called Old Angle. It's a soccer pub. And honestly, I don't know how they call it this. I heard they had all the Man U stuff up this week. I'm going to say that much. I heard it's also a Tottenham pub. So, you know, maybe they're split half and half, but this is the first time where I went in and I saw, you know, besides a USA game, where I saw all flags for one specific team. And I was like, oh, this is a United bar? But yeah, there were more City fans. And it was the first time I'd actually, you know, been out for a derby match like that. So, you know, you're seeing you're hearing the chants, you know, you're seeing everything. Honestly, I'll let you go, but this was just straight dominance from City. The worst part about it is that United probably could have had 2-3 more goals, because they had a few counters where they just squandered it, in my opinion. And the game could have ended up totally different. There could have been, as bad as I thought United played, there were a few chances in the game where United could have gone and, you know, taken the lead again and gone ahead. And I feel like Rashford had a few chances where he's going to have to answer for. And, you know, just a few other plays. But, as you know, as dominant as you guys were, there were areas that I'm looking at y'all like, y'all can still get caught. And, you know, this United game was always going to, you know, go the way it was. I feel like you guys were the better team. And with how many injuries to, you know, important pieces, like Rasmus not being there for United is going to hurt them. But as far as you guys, when I'm looking at your team as a whole, you guys still have areas where you can get caught. You know, it's clear on the counterattack. If you have fast players on the outside, you can get caught. You know what I'm saying? And when you look at teams like Liverpool, when you look at teams like Arsenal, who you got to have to see later in the year, Martinelli and Saka might get y'all trouble, bro. Like, Darwin Nunez and Luis Diaz or whoever's up there, if Salah's back, that's an issue. So, you know, you guys did what you're supposed to do. Don't get me wrong. Like, you're still doing what you're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the teams that are fighting for the league right now. And that's what I would say. I would look at those areas and be like, we got to improve there. But, you know, what was your takeaway from the match?
I mean, I'll say this. I think that, before the match was going, people were like, oh, it's going to – how much will City win by? And that was, like, the main way people were looking
at it. I was one of them.
Yeah, and my thing is, like, when I look at it, I'm like, I mean, Hoyland being out, those missed chances. And then when you look at City, okay, it's one thing. We had a, what they said, an XG of, like, 2.9 something. That Haaland miss, that one Haaland miss made up one point of that. I saw some stat about that. I'm like, yeah, he's been – it's crazy to think about how we actually aren't at our best. I mean, we're good enough to still be United, but we're not at our best yet. And – that makes this title race even more just interesting to keep an eye on, because you're right. We do have some weak points, but overall, the one thing Foden, I mean, we didn't mention in the you know, new generation coming up, the sniper, a little sniper Foden. Yeah, he's in that group. In my opinion, I compare it. Foden. What's it called? When I see Foden playing, I'm like, I consider him in the caliber with Bellingham and with Vinny and that kind of like range of player. Not quite to, you know, Mbappe.
I do too. I've been saying it for years, man. Lefty gross.
No, he's good. He's good.
He's scoring freely. He's assisting. He's staying consistent. And he has been, you know, people before this, they were like, he doesn't get enough starts, so he can't. We can't say he's good or not. Then when he gets starts and he starts showing what he's good at, they're like, but that's not really like he's in his team with a bunch of like amazing stars. Like, that's not anything. This season was a season we lost Gundo, was a season that we lost Mahrez, was a season that, you know, KDB was out for a minute. Haaland hasn't been showing up. He carried us through that. That was him for like 5-6 games of just like hat trick, couple goals. And the weird goals you don't see coming, and then now he's scoring screamers. And so for me, that game, the big takeaway was like, one, Foden is ready to step up. He needs to play centrally. Gareth Southgate was at that game. And I swear to God, if I see Henderson get put into that midfield or anyone else besides Declan Rice, Bellingham, and Foden, I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, you're not being serious with that England team. So I hope he saw that. And can recognize that as well, because we weren't on our best. And if it wasn't for Foden, we wouldn't have gotten there. And secret little shout out to Alvarez. When he came on, the pace of the game just immediately picked up. And that was when he set up one of the goals to Foden after that. I think so. And so for me, there the gap between United and City it's not a surprise. It's been like this now for almost at least 5 years. We could say it's been a pretty wide gap. The thing that I think makes me really question it is just when you look at how our coach responded. Yes, he had an Alvarez on the bench to put up, but you know, Rashford was the only threat that was there, taking him off and then putting on, you know, it's just he was making decisions where I was like, man, this is United. Losing Hoyland. This is United with a coach that isn't making the best decisions. And to be honest, I think there's a lot of people talking about how United wasn't good enough to win this game. But I'm like, it should be talked about why City weren't going winning by more at this point. And it's clearly some of the issues we still got to figure out. But yeah, I said there was one thing I wanted from this season, was that we got our double over United, in the Prem, and getting this win, I think was just, that for me is one of the best parts. So if, right now I'm like, look at the trophy, the PL, and I'm like, a 4-peat would be nice, but I can live with a Champions League and having a good season. Cause that's where I'm at. I'm like, I want another chance. I want to keep that going. But yeah, my piece.
No. Yeah. Hats off to you guys. Yeah. I mean, like you said, you guys were the best team. I mean, as far as the game goes, I think that we gave everything. The boys gave everything. I think that we, based off of the players that we had out, that was the best team that we could put out to compete that day. And I think it said a lot, especially after we got the first goal, how, you know, naive the game plan was as far as to just, you know, put all 10 men behind the ball. This was in the first half. I mean, at one point, there's a picture where we had almost our entire team inside the 18-yard box. And it's you know, I think it just shows, you know, where we are as a team. And I think it says a lot about, you know, the players that we have at our disposal, as well as, to Solo's point, some of the decisions made by the manager. But I think even in that loss, I mean, there's a few people that I would like to shout out. The first one, I think that this guy has had a, you know, pretty solid comeback after a very poor start of the season. That's Andre Onana. I think he had a lot of good saves in the Manchester Derby. He had a lot of good saves in Fulham. And quite frankly, you know, if he didn't come up big in those situations, as well as just, you know, like, you know, Haaland just not missing, like, right in front of the goal, like, that game could have been, you know, 4-5-6. But yeah, shout out to Onana. Shout out to Varane. I thought Varane was outstanding. I thought that he did the best he could. I thought Casemiro did decent, but was outmatched with the midfield that they have. Shout out Johnny Evans, man. I mean, this is a guy who, doesn't even has really, like, no, I can't even say he has no business, like, you know, representing United at this point, because he's been honestly one of our more consistent players. And his
age, OG, man.
Yeah. I mean, his age is where he is. And I mean, he had to get subbed off because he's hurt. I mean, he's up there, you know what I'm saying? And
also Rashford had an injury. He had a shoulder injury. He was playing with that the whole game.
Yeah.
Bro, if you hurt, then don't play. I'm not here.
I think
you score a goal.
We'll get to that. I have to shout out those guys just because, you know, again, like, you know, you talk about having character in a team like this, and it just kind of shows, you know, from a consistency standpoint, like, who's been good for us. And, you know, I say that not to really insult Johnny Evans, but, like, you know, the fact that we have to rely on him, mm-hmm. In 2024, is crazy. You know, going into
20 years in the making.
Yeah. Going into a Manchester Derby against, you know, one of the most, when we look back on, you know, the history of football, this is one of those, like, classic teams. You know, like the classic, you know, like the you know, in 2K they'd be having the classic teams. Yeah, it's just like that. Yeah. Like, this is an era for City. But I mean, yeah, as far as the only thing I would disagree with you on, Solo, is as far as the decision goes, I feel like Ten Hag, you know, he did what he could with what he had. Rashford got hurt, he had to take him off. Johnny Evans got hurt, he had to take him off. The only decision that I don't agree with was having Mainoo subbed off, because he's the only player that, you know, if you're trying to see out a game, it's probably best to leave, you know, one of the only technical player that we have on the team, so that, you know, the ball down a little bit. But No, nah, man, I think, you know, it was great Rashford got the goal. I do want to bring up 2 points because we're talking about inconsistencies. I think that it was the goal that Foden scored from the Rashford foul that wasn't called. I believe 100%.
That was barely a foul. What?
Yeah, it was. No, you're saying it's barely a foul, but it was a foul nonetheless.
But so that's not – I personally don't think it's foul, but if you call it a foul, not to – nah. Bro, it was like barely a hand. Look how I'm doing, like this.
Yeah, no, but like at any point. No, I know, but there's been instances where the rule is if you pull a player back at any point, and I've seen like weaker calls in this one, they've been called. Nonetheless, okay. The other one that I just kind of feel, this one kind of goes either way, but we've been in this situation and it was dealt as a red card for us. The Ederson tackle on Garnacho. Again, the rule is if you are off your feet, 2 feet in the air, legs open, cleats up, studs up,
yeah,
that's a red card. If you don't have control of your body, it doesn't matter if you win the ball back. At that point, if you're off of the air, off of the air, if your legs are, you know, your studs are up, that calls for a red card. Because Casemiro, it happened to him. I mean, and we
have you're experiencing. You're experiencing Varma. That's yeah. Karma from last year. That Rashford offside, like not offside goal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just think that again, it's, and I'm not excusing that. It's just, it's the only reason why I bring that up is just because we all know how mentally weak this team is, and I think after the first one, it was just kind of like, I don't know. You can see that their heads drop. And I mean, on the last goal, the third goal for Haaland, I mean, you know, looking back, you know, a lot of people, even myself, like that day in the moment, I was going in on Amrabat. But like, I still don't understand why Casemiro hit the ball up in the air like that, knowing that he had someone on him like that. And to put him in that position, someone with that much experience, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, it's easy to look at the guy who lost the ball and to be like, yeah, what are you doing? But
yeah, that's
pretty- I don't know. But like, it just think about it, though. Like, if you're hitting that ball up, if you guys are my midfield partner and if you're hitting that ball up to me, I'm under the impression that I have time because yeah, like, yeah. Why are you hitting the ball up to me like that? Like, if I have someone on me, like just yeah, pass it on the ground and we can still kind of, you know. But nonetheless, I to your point, there's a big gap, obviously, in between the two clubs at the moment. I think that United did the bet.
Go ahead. I have a question for you. What would you say to Jim Ratcliffe at this point, watching it the rest of the season? Like, where would you say? What would you say is advice how he should be handling in this season?
I think it's very simple. I think that we have to move away from some of these players that we're heavily relying on. And it's not just the players that, you know, are on big wages and, you know, we've been on here talking about. I'm not talking about just Rashford and Bruno. I'm talking about, I mean, all of them. Because at this point, for me, it's not even about – you can't put it on one person. You can't put it on two people. That's unfair. But what I do know for a fact is if you get rid of this manager, okay, what's going to change? We've gotten rid of countless of managers. The one common thing that stayed the same is the players. So if he's watching, I mean, he has to see, like, you know, game to game, you know, that these players, quite frankly, aren't good enough to consistently perform to get us to where we need to be. So hopefully these people that they're putting in place are seeing this. You know, if Jim Ratcliffe has the control that he says that he has, and I think that he has, then I think some of these decisions shouldn't be too difficult. If it's just footballing decisions. Now, if it's, you know, what it's been for the past 10 years, then that's a different conversation. You know, but I think it's very obvious that, like, a lot of the players that we have are, quite frankly, not good enough to be playing for the club at the moment. So, yeah, that's what I would say to him. And hopefully bringing in someone like Dan Ashworth will give us a head start on that. considering he's Newcastle's, he was Newcastle's director of football. He's heavily linked with us. And if we can get all the players that were linked with Newcastle, hey, I mean, they're a better team than us at the moment. So, like, you know, that's what I would say to him. Get rid of these players and bring in players that can, you know, give you more than 29% possession against another Premier League team. I mean, even teams like Luton, and, you know, they'll give you more than 29%. Yeah, I'm not, I didn't expect to go in and, you know, go blow for blow with City, but, you know, at least.
But that's where I think you're wrong, bro, because that's how you beat City. Like, I mean, City, we know how good they are. And if you sit back, kind of like what we talked about earlier, you're going to get beat. They're going to figure out a way to score, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, if you look at your guys' game, you didn't play the greatest, but you held them scoreless for an hour, you know, and then whatever happened. But for the most part, you guys had your assignments, you know, Haaland hits Foden hits a banger and then the floodgates are open. But if you go at City, and again, you guys had your chances and just kind of squandered them. But if you go at City, you can beat them, you know, and it kind of, you kind of showed that in your first 15, 20 minutes when you got the goal and were kind of just on their ass after the counter. And I think, you know, knowing the personnel you have, you kind of just have to throw everything there, because if you sit back, you lose, you're away at the Etihad, so you already don't have the crowd. I don't know. I feel like Ten Hag hasn't really been great in positions where you guys have had the lead. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys haven't had a lot of the leads, but you haven't been great. And this was one of the games where I thought you did pretty decent. I mean, that whole first half, I was like,
We scored in the 8th minute. So
but then the whole first half, you defend well. I mean, obviously they have their chances, but you have yours too.
But here's the thing: the discouraging part, like that, was like the concerning part for me. Like I was saying to Solo before we started, like we scored in the 8th minute. By the 13th minute, I saw all my players inside my 18-yard box defending, and I'm like, if this is the plan going forward, guys, we're not going to be able to hold them for 82 minutes. We can't even defend well. We're not even a team that defends well. So yeah, you're telling me that we're going to give, you know, the probably the best, yeah, the best team in the world with the ball 82 minutes to figure out how to get a goal or two. And I mean, like, it wasn't, you say that we're defending well, and to an extent I agree, but like don't get it twisted. On a different day, Haaland makes that. That's 1-1, easy. Like, that's not like, I'm not by any means fooled by a lot of the misses that City had. You know, I don't look at their misses and be like, oh, well, you know, we altered that shot to make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, no. It wasn't good defense. It was just that it was bad execution on their part. So, like, 100%, I thought it was very naive.
I mean, it's still City. They're going to break through. But I would say for the first half, for the most part, you guys defended well. Yeah, they broke in 2-3 times, but – you know, Haaland missed a header here. He missed a sitter there. Like, that's football. That's going to happen. For the most part, if City has 3 chances in a half and they leave with 0 goals, you're like, damn, this is a great half. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So my thing is, okay, well, in y'all experience, in y'all, like, what would you say makes a good counterattacking team? I would say, so Real Madrid, I think, is a great counterattacking team. I feel like, for example, you're right. Unite, like a lot of teams that get us, they either counterattack against us or they're able to hold us for 90 minutes. And so you got to pick one or the other. And United in the past has gotten us with a counterattack, but this time it didn't work out the whole way, because I feel like it's right. It was a mentality.
To have an effective counter, you need to be able, like, you can't, for me at least, you can't, with a team like City, you can't try to do it every trip, you know? Like, you have to understand that, okay, so this is a perfect example. You guys beat them on the corner in the 7th minute of the game. Now, you guys, the issue was you sat back. If you continue just to play, you know, sit obviously a little bit, but continue to play just regular, open, flowing football, City is going to have to creep and creep and creep to where now they're down a goal at home. They're going to throw the kitchen sink. That's when you counter again. Once they start to feel a little bit more pressure to score and they start adding that extra defender, now you see Rodri creeping up a little bit more and not sitting less. That's when you counter. You don't counter every trip, But you counter when you see that there's space on the outside. Yeah, Trini already knows. He's free Ama. That's crazy. But I don't know. I just think, again, like I said, City played a great game. I think United did not have the game plan to go beat them. And I think that City's quality just showed at the end of the day.
He said, yeah, I mean, to answer your question, Solo, I think what makes a good counterattacking team for me is, I think, first off, I think that the if you're going to choose to not have the ball like that, I think that you need to have your forwards be like amongst – your forwards have to be the hardest working people on the team because they're not the ones that are going to have the ball a lot. So, like, when they do have the ball, you need to make sure that, like, everyone's getting where they need to be ASAP. And to be honest with you, I don't think that, you know, especially our main guy, he doesn't work hard. That's his biggest, you know, fault. And additionally, I also think that you need players that, you know, are tactically sound, smart, so that when they do see that split second of an opportunity to send someone in behind or whatever the case may be, like, they have to be able to execute. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, Bruno's supposed to be that person for us. He can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what's going on with him, but I just feel like, again, and I don't want to put it on the two people, but I mean, these are the two people that you're looking to, you know, initiate, you know, a game plan like this, because you're not asking McTominay to do it. McTominay hid for 90 minutes. No one said he was on the pitch. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one brings that up, but McTominay is like missing on the pitch. So you're already playing with, you know, you're already playing without a midfielder against one of, you know, the best midfielders in the world. So, like, I mean, yeah, man, I think that we don't have an identity of who we are. I think that it's the collection of the players. But at the same time, like, you do have to question the manager. And I mean, to Young Trini's point, bro, like, I think at this point, like, and I hate to say this, because just two games ago we were on like a five game win streak in the Prem, six games unbeaten in all competitions, and I just feel like we're at that point again where it's like, yo, three more games, we got to see how we're at, three more games, and it's just like, I don't know, I don't really see like what changes unless we get more players in here to represent the club, because some of these guys that we have now are just not good enough. We can't. We're so far from City, Liverpool, Arsenal, the teams that we're going to talk about next. And it's just, yeah, I mean, just it is where it is at the current moment.
Yeah, let's switch over to Arsenal real quick. I mean, we could just talk about them very, very quickly. They played today, 6-0 smashing against, you know, Sheffield United. I actually did watch the first 15 minutes, and
that was three goals.
Yeah, I texted in the group chat. I was like, this could easily be 6-0. I was like, this is looking like a 6-0. And I turned it off after those first three. I didn't need to see anything else. I mean, I ain't gonna hold you, bro. Arsenal look like the best team in the league right now. I know they're not in first place, but as far as the way they're playing, how they're dominating teams, and, you know, albeit they are the healthiest squad right now. Like, they are 100% the health. I mean, they're not 100% healthy, but when you look at the teams in the top four, when you look at Tottenham, who just is regaining players, when you look at, you know, teams that are in the top six, they've been the most healthy and the most consistent all year. And health is wealth. You know, we always say the best ability is availability, and it's going to show these guys have had, you know, most of their best players available all year. And the chemistry now is just at a place where they can score four at any time. It doesn't really matter who it is. You kind of just have to keep up with them. And this has kind of been like, you haven't seen this Arsenal for real in a long time where they could just kind of score at will for real. It's probably been like 6-7 years since you've seen a team that could score three at any time.
Ozil, like Sanchez days.
Honestly. And so when I look at this team right now, it's just like, all right, well, you know, United, they didn't do what they were supposed to do, but City can't drop any more points. Liverpool can't drop any more points because this is a team that's smelling blood right now. And based off the way that last year ended, this team is ready. They're definitely a better team when they're chasing, you know, because they're still a little young and they got that fight in them. They're waiting for one of y'all to slip up. And, you know, if it happens, it happens. But right now they look like the scariest team in the league.
Yeah. And they already took points off Liverpool. So they really just got to take some points off.
That's off.
Yeah. And this, And so it's like, it'll be interesting next couple of matches for them across this month. I think one thing that I noticed about them is that, so during the 2017-18 season, Arteta was 16-17, 17-18, I think, one there in between there. Arteta was like the, you know, kind of our offensively minded coach, like crafting a lot of our offense and everything. And this reminds me a lot of that team when we were just hitting 5-0s, 6-0s every other game. It's free flowing. They're just scoring at any moment. And I think the one thing about that is that it depends on availability. Also, they've had an easy run of games from since the break has came back. And I think that has given them the time they needed to get their brain right after, because December they were struggling. It wasn't looking too good. And so they're doing great.
I mean, they were Liverpool top of last month. So I guess since
Liverpool game, it's been pretty like chill for the most
part. West Ham, Burnley, the loss to Porto, and then Newcastle, Sheffield.
Mm-hmm. That Newcastle's probably the most difficult there, and I think that their hardest games are ahead of them, so they still have to, you know, really put a good fight in. The thing that stopped us in 2017-18 was a low block, and you know, teams haven't started doing low blocks against them yet. They've been kind of still playing them as if they're not in like super hot form right now. So I'm interested to see, like, for example, their last game of the season is against Everton. Relegation fighting Everton on the last game. They're not giving up that easy.
You remember what happened on the last day last year? Everton? Mm-hmm. Abdullah.
See, that's where I don't think it matters because this is not that team. Like, this isn't the last year team where they were leading the league for the entire year and just did not No Arsenal fan want to hear this, but they folded under pressure. They crumbled. Tough, bro. But like, they had to grow through that. I feel like to be the team they are right now, and now they got Declan Rice, who's a certified baller, who you know is so used to playing with West Ham and digging them out of the dirt that now that he has ballers, I feel like if they even get to that point, they have someone who can get them out of the dirt. Because last year, I feel like some of their biggest issues were Odegaard went missing in some of the biggest moments. He was looking like Avatar, the Last Airbender, just disappeared. Saka, you know, if Odegaard isn't there doing what he's supposed to do, it's very easy to double on Saka. And then where's the rest of the team, you know? And now with Declan Rice, that's just added security. And their team is just firing right now, you know? So you're right. Their harder games are ahead of them, but I don't think a low block matters because they're scoring off set pieces. They're totally dominating matches. You know what I'm saying? They're scoring everywhere. So it's like, yeah, if you put a low block on them, sure, they're just going to get 4, 5, 6 corners on you in the span of 10 minutes, and probably one of them is going to go in. You know what I mean? So
some of these
Gabriel, teams, you know, Gabriel has like 4 or 5 goals just off headers in set pieces this year. So he's scoring more than some people.
I know, Sam, you're about to get into like some of the like goals, how they've been scored, though.
Yeah, it's just like some of these teams are just like selling hard, though. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, what are you guys doing? Like the own goal, like some of the and I just I don't know. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. I just think that some of the like when I was watching some of the highlights earlier today, I'm just like, Sheffield, what are you guys doing, man? I mean, side note, I think this year The three teams that got promoted from the championship have probably been one of the worst three teams I've seen promoted to the Premier League ever. Yeah. Sheffield this year, Burnley this year, and Luton. Like horrible. It's been a tough season. You know, like it's been rough. And some of these, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, to your point, Arsenal's looks good. And I mean, you know, they have we'll see how the end of the we'll see how the end of the season goes, but let's talk about Liverpool, and then I have a question for you guys. Solo, I probably know what your answer is, but
yeah, man. I mean, we could talk about Liverpool too. They're on the same thing. They're just firing. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Luckily, they got this win, and like this is one of those matches where I really thought they were going to slip up and lose. Yeah. But you know, call it what you want to call it. You know, Nottingham Forest just being idiots at the end of the match.
So, what was he doing?
Or Liverpool just being Liverpool and somehow finding that rare magic that, you know, they brew up at halftime in their cauldron, because Klopp is on his final go-round and they have to make everything a storybook finish. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things where I've seen Liverpool do this so often. It's honestly frustrating, even when you go back to the days of Salah and Mane, you know, like those 4-3 wins that they come up with in the 97th minute where they score two goals in injury time. Is like one of those type things. So I don't know. Liverpool is one of those teams where I always feel like they can have a chance to win. But man, talk about selling. Talk about selling, Salam.
Cho. I just don't understand. Like, what were you doing trying to dribble out? Like from the
that was tired.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody was looking at him like crazy. Cause when Iwaniyi got the ball, he was like, he was surprised that he even was put in that position. And then, like, obviously great cross by who was that? Yeah, McAllister. And then, I mean, the finish was great. It was a great finish. I think that this guy, he's really hitting form, you know, at the right time. And but that's the season. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the season. They like you said, Cornelius, are lucky to get this win. I think that it's incredible the way that they got it. But they got it, you know. And nonetheless, like, going into this title, you know, push, obviously it's a three-headed horse like race. But as of right now, like, who do you guys think, like, wins it, the Premier League, March 4th?
I think Liverpool – have the easiest schedule, but they have the most injuries that they have to work through. Arsenal have the least injuries, but they have a more difficult schedule, while City has we have the most difficult schedule to the end of the season. And so it's tough. This is actually if I was a betting man, I am, but I wouldn't bet. It's easy. Like, yeah, because there's no – everybody has an equal, like, kind of like point and reason to win. City for the four-peat, Klopp final season, and Arsenal revenge from last year. I don't know. This is shaping up to be one of the best Premier League seasons of the
in a long time, bro. Because like just kind of how Solo broke it down, like, there really is vested interest, like a little added extra motor for every team. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pep won't say it, but I think more than the four-peat, his real motivation is Klopp ain't winning this on his way out. He ain't going to say that out loud, but deep down, Pep is in that locker room saying, let's not give these boys the storybook ending they want. And you know it's true. You know what I'm saying? These guys have been fighting their whole careers, from the Bundesliga now to the Prem. Like, there's a little bit of extra sauce on it for all those three teams, and right now it's tough. Like, for real, it's really tough. If I had a bet on a team right now, I'd say Liverpool, just because of kind of what Solo said. Like, they have injuries, but they're finding their way to win these games. And once they get their couple of guys back, like, it's a wrap. Yeah. Like, if Salah is healthy for that City game, it might be a wrap.
It really is. Yeah. He said he's on the bench for the City game at the least.
Yeah. So it's like, you know what I mean? Just having that little fear that he might come on is a whole thing now. You know what I'm saying?
I would have to side with City, man, just because I just think that they have the most depth, and they have the best manager. I think that they have the best players. I think they have the best player in the Premier League right now. and this may be a controversial take. I think they have, let me say this. I think that Man City has the best player, my candidate for player of the season, as well as probably the best player when he gets up to fitness.
Oh, okay.
I think you have to give Phil Foden a shot for player of the year, 100%.
A great year.
So,
I'm not mad at it.
And Kevin De Bruyne is not even like, you know, he's not even in shape yet. So just wait until, like, you know, he gets it together. But I don't know, man. I still think Arsenal are in that position where it was like last year, it was a surprise. This year, we added one piece. And that one piece, that one big piece was Declan Rice. Obviously, Saliba is still healthy, but I still think.
That's crazy, Shay.
I'm just saying, like,
throw that in there.
You have to. They do, so you have to. I mean, like, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But, and I mean, it's gonna probably sound funny coming after a game that they scored 6 today and I think 5 last week. But I think that they're gonna still need that striker. I think that they're a striker away. And I think
I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
I think that this is going to be the year where they'll be like, man, we were close. We were even closer. We just didn't have a striker. And the next year, when they do get whoever that person is, I think that, you know, that'll be the year that, you know, they decide. Well, I don't know if they'll decide, but, you know.
Well, one thing I'll say is that the first half of any year is about, for managers, for me, is about like how they set up themselves in the summer. And you're kind of just like, you know, having to work around that. The second half for me is about problem solving. And when you're looking at what you have to deal with, okay, who's out, who's not out, where are we at, who's our next couple of games, we have the best problem solver in Guardiola. So I definitely agree with that. He knows how to move and change these type of things around. The only thing, though, is our finishing is a little bit suspect right now. And we do concede goals more than
the best striker in the world, though.
We do, but we also we concede goals more than we did last year, and we don't finish as many of our chances. So it's blood in the water for both those teams for sure.
Cool. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a good question. Right now, if I had a bet, it would be so tough for me to pick a winner out of those three. But you know, time will tell. We're getting closer and closer to these marquee matchups here at the end of the season. Yeah. But just to switch gears, nowhere near the top of the table.
Yeah.
Very, very, very satisfied being mid, it seems like. Mid-table. Weak Chelsea.
Mid-table. Mid-table, man.
Like I said, we're officially a mid-table club. It's sad to see, but, you know, we are who we are. And we just got to live and grow. This match for me was just another prime example of just us having no venom, no fangs, really just no fight for real. And clearly, like, it's one of those things for me when, you know, and shout out to Wissa because he had an absolute match against us from the first opening whistle, bro. He almost scored us within the first 5 minutes. Oh. And this is something I texted Mike too. You know, he tried a bike in like the first 20 minutes of the match and it was on frame. You know, it was like, it was, you know, directly at Petrovic, and it was an easy save. He was maybe like 10 yards out, 12 yards out near the PK spot.
He had to text Mike separately.
Like, yo, 20 minutes in, you're trying that?
Yeah.
Like, yo, what's this, man? And of course, you know, well done. Just a brilliant, brilliant goal. I couldn't take anything away from the goal. But for me, this Chelsea match was about Nicholas Jackson. And again, just how he sometimes can play at, you know, the game he had against City, I thought he played a 9 out of 10. He probably was our best player on the pitch that day, to be honest. And then you see him play like that, and then we turn around and he scored, but easily could have had 2 goals, easily could have had an assist, easily could have added a little bit more to our team. And that's just what our team is right now. It's just very, very inconsistent. And, you know, if Mike was here, he would say it's just more of the same. we can go and play at a very, very high rate, and then we don't know what kind of showing we're going to get the next match. And a lot of that is up to Pochettino to, you know, make sure that the team's mindset is right. But I don't know. This Chelsea team, there's not much I want to say about it because we're at a state where this year doesn't matter. You know, luckily we're doing very, very well in the cup competitions. We got to a final, so that's something to pat our back about. You know, we're in the next round of the FA Cup, so we're still in that as well. But for me, Chelsea, I just want to see more consistency. Like, at this point, the year is dead. I don't, you know, I would love to win the FA Cup, but even if we get to the finals, I have no faith in our team that we're clinical enough to, you know, beat whoever we see, because there are still some good teams left in that competition. So for me, it's just really about seeing our players kind of just be more consistent. Sterling hasn't been consistent all year. It's tough because we wanted him to be the guy. It's clear that he won't be the guy for us. So I don't want to necessarily move on from him, but we have to start looking at players that can fill roles and actually just be more consistent. That's all I got to say about my team. I don't know if y'all saw our match or if y'all have anything to input, but it's just sad, bro, because we play very, very well. You know, Malo Gusto, shout out to him, played a 10 out of a 10 match.
I wanted Mike to be on here to address the Malo Gusto best right back in the league.
No one says he's the right back, best right back in the league.
Mike did.
It's blasphemous. He's not the best right back in the league, but
Mike said it.
For sure, a top five right back in the Prem right now. And I would put that on anybody and on everything because
he's a top five. Yeah. He's a top five
right back in the league. You know, for it to be his first year, him starting strictly because Reece James can't stay fit, for him to just get plugged into the role and for what he's able to provide for us offensively and defensively, it's just kudos to him. And it's good to see that we have a player that can actually be consistent and, you know, potentially just be our next starter moving forward. Because for me, with Reece's inability to stay on the pitch, I don't really need him to be our number one right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's good when he's there, but if we can nurse him back as slowly as possible into when he can, you know, be fit and not have to be rushed back. Because I think that's our biggest issue with Reece James is that we rush him back. You know, every single time that he's been injured and he's had to come back for us is because we need him to be there. It's because whoever else has been in that right back position is either Azpilicueta and is too old, or it's Chalaba and is, you know, he makes too many mistakes, or it's just, you know, De Sassi is new. But our right back position has been an area where when Reece is not there, there's just no good replacement. And now we actually have someone who I would say is more than a replacement, someone that can actually fill that role. So for me, it's good to see players like that. And that's kind of what I was hoping we'd get from a lot more of our signings. But, you know, again, these kids are young and they have to grow into the role. But Malo Gusto is the one that paid off for us. And we, you know, like, we got a gem in that kid. And I love what he's able to provide for us.
I'm sick because I sold him on fantasy. And I had him for like half the first half of the season where he was then not doing the best. He has just, bro, against, especially in City, half of why Doku was just not even in the game was actually not even half. It was just because of him. Like, that was it.
I mean, offensively and defensively, he's like solid, bro. And like, the thing is, I can't really get mad at him. And Trini is saying real deal, he can play on the left as well. I don't like him on the left. I know he can fill that void and play on the left, but like, you can see him drop from like a B to a B minus C plus when he's playing on the left. And for us, it's good to have somebody that can be versatile and play in that role.
He's an A minus.
But at the end of the day, you think he's an A minus?
I think from what he's showed this year, he's an A minus. I don't agree.
I think he's a B plus. I think he's a B plus. A minus would be high praise. To be honest,
I don't think he's, to Mike's point, like, I don't think he's the best right back in the league. But I mean, based off of what he's seen, like when I think of Chelsea's like more consistent players, he's probably the first or second person I think of. So, I think he has a good shout to go to the Euros this year and right next to Saliba to start for France. I mean, it's crazy, man. France, they're going to be crazy.
And that's the crazy part. Like, when you have somebody that well, playing that young, and he has to get a shout for France. I didn't even think about that. I mean, I wasn't
going to France.
Yeah, he's French.
Oh, I'm tired, man. Like, yeah, they just got everybody over there.
I mean, when you look at the French right backs, he has a very. I mean, he started the whole year essentially. I don't know what his numbers are, but I can guarantee you he has around 5 assists just based on what I've seen from my eyes. I mean, he has 5 assists, a few goals, I would assume. What's Gusto sitting at? He's got 5 assists literally in the league. So for him, it's only up from here, you know, and it's good to see him fill that role. You know, Chilwell is getting healthy again. Again, I'm not the biggest Chile fan, but it's clear when Chilwell's on the pitch, we play a little bit better. You know, he's better at keeping the ball on his feet, and offensively he can give us some sort of threat. But right now it's just Chelsea is very, very inconsistent. You know, this is a team that Brentford, you know, Tony's back, sure, but he hasn't been playing at the level he was at last year. This is a team where we're going away to Brentford, but I fully believe we were going to get 3 points and we didn't. So it's like, you know, it's tough to see where we are, but these are the games that, you know, have to humble me and be like, we are a mid-table club. Yeah, I know we spent $1 billion or whatever it is, but just because we spent the money doesn't mean all these guys are panning out. We have to kind of take it slow. And it's as annoying as it is, as frustrating as it is, because I really want to go in there and just say, like, this team should be way better. I have to grow with the, you know, I got to grow with the squad. So it is what it is. You know, Chelsea will be pretty, pretty weak sauce, I think, for another year or two, until we figure out what we want to do and how we want to grow and what identity is. I mean, at this point, Poch is a done thing for me, but he has to finish out the season. I just don't know what our team needs. Like, I don't know if we need a manager that's young and fresh with new ideas, or if we need someone that's a little bit, you know, more established. I truly don't know what the best thing
Big Sam. Y'all need to get Big Sam.
We don't need somebody too old. We need somebody that's still young enough to
let me
relate to these cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are going to London Fashion Week and posting TikToks. Like, we need somebody that understands that. But at the same time, we need somebody that needs to let these cats know that Chelsea is this is a big club, and we haven't been like that for 2-3 years now. And that part of my team is leaving. Like, the pedigree that we used to have as a Chelsea player, we used to walk in a club, we used to walk into a stadium, they used to hold themselves to a certain standard, and that's gone now. And that's the worst part about what I see week in, week out, is that when we go into these stadiums, there's really no fear, bro. We're just a bunch of tag team players put together, and hopefully we can get a dub. But, like, the fear we used to instill in certain teams, certain stadiums, that's gone, and that's what I want back. We need to get that killer back. And, you know, Arsenal's got it. You know, it took Arsenal 3-4 years, but now Arsenal's that squad. And you can see it doesn't take much.
It's a coach that's needed.
It doesn't take much, but it does take – it takes the coach teaching the mentality every day, and then once the players start scoring goals and once they start keeping clean sheets and once they start getting 3-5 game win streaks, then they have the belief, you know. But until we get that belief, I feel like we'll be a mid-table club, and it's tough to see because we do have the talent. We got talent. Like, we got enough players. And that's the thing where Mike and I do agree. I believe we got the guys. Like, when I look at our tape, when I look at who we suit up, a lot of these guys aren't established. And a lot of these guys are young, but talent-wise, we can go in and we scored 4 against City this year. You know, we scored 4 against a lot of teams, but we've also lost 4-2 to Wolves. We've also lost to Crystal Palace. So for me, we've also lost to teams that are not, you know, high on this table. So for me, it's just like, all right, what's Chelsea going to end up being this year? And unfortunately, this year it's not great. So
I got a start sub sell for you. It's a manager edition. So you're going to start one, sub one, and cut one. Start sub sell. Thomas Tuchel, Pochettino, Eddie Howe.
So, I mean, based off personal experience, I'm starting Tuchel. Eddie Howe would be on my bench because I've never really seen him. But I think based on what he's done with Newcastle, might be a better fit than what Pochettino has been for us. Pochettino would be gone. He hasn't shown me anything. He hasn't done anything for me. If you gave Thomas Tuchel the team we have now,
yeah,
you're doing better in a lot of these games.
I mean, Tuchel's looking for a way out. He's what's happening at Bayern. I don't know if we want to go into that preview for the.
Yeah, let's hop into Bayern real quick.
Yeah,
with that.
Just hear your answer real quick, though.
Oh yeah, I would say I would definitely agree with selling Pochettino. At this point in time, I would say Eddie Howe starting and what's it called, Tuchel on the bench, only because you know Newcastle's just doing better.
Oh, Eddie Howe's at Newcastle now, right? He left.
Yeah.
The Bees. Yeah, he was good before then too. So. He's like what I would consider a solid 4-6 manager, 4-6 place.
That's why I'm cutting him.
Yeah. For me, that's why I'm keeping it, because I'm like, Pochettino ain't doing nothing. Like,
so I'm cutting him. I'd probably start Tuchel, go Poch, and then him. But yeah, Bayern versus Lazio, Champions League preview.
But before we even get to Bayern versus Lazio, is it a done thing for Bayern in the league?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's hard. Yeah.
And I mean, like, I say that because obviously the point differential is what it is, but Leverkusen has shown that they're the best team in Bundesliga this year. They're the most coached team, and bro, it doesn't matter. Like, they can score goals.
They haven't lost a match in any competition at all.
Yeah, that's bro. And it's you got to give credit to the players as well too, but Xabi Alonso, I mean, all of everybody involved. I mean, yeah, obviously, like I said, like, the point differential is what it is, but they're holding head and shoulders above anyone. Even if they were like 3 points off Bayern, if they were tied with Bayern, I would still be like, based off of what I've seen this year, like, they're still gonna get them. But because Bayern, I think Bayern at this point could probably blow a 9-point lead. I don't think that it really matters for them in the league anymore, which is sad considering, you know, the players that they brought in. Should have stayed.
So my second question then, if they do not win to Lazio, is Tuchel sacked? Or does he finish the year out?
Nah, he's gone. They straight up said, even like in a response or something, one of their people said, like, yeah, you know, basically they told him it's game per game. We're making a decision game per game. So he's out the door.
I mean, it's a tough position for him to be in. I think it'd be one of those situations where he probably just finishes out the season, and then they go out from – they make a decision from there. I don't see Bayern isn't a club like that, where I don't think that, especially when you look at the landscape of coaches, there's really not anybody that really sticks out and is like a really viable option for them. I mean, even when they had, because they fired what's his name, right? Like, when Nagelsmann came in, like, that wasn't a, who did he replaced, what, Hansi Flick? Like, that wasn't, you know, but that was like, you know, there was a clear, like, you know, candidate there. Like, when you look at the landscape now, it's like, you know, Deserve you? Like, no, like, he's any of these guys, they're not leaving their clubs right now. So especially I think I mean, obviously if they win, great. If they beat Lazio and they're through, great. But if not, I mean, I think that it just, I personally think the decision's already been made.
Yeah,
that's just kind of where I'm at with it. I think that, like, the you turning it around versus Lazio isn't going to change anything. I think that they've kind of have their mind made up on what they're going to do.
So then my third question is Harry Kane cursed?
You know, it's hard to answer this because there are three. So, okay, this summer, Kane left Spurs. Poch left Spurs. Or not this summer. Poch left Spurs a while ago. And Spurs haven't won a trophy.
So I'm waiting to see who does what. If Pop gets the trophy first, if Kane gets the trophy first, or if Spurs do. And that's going to be
the decision. Pochettino got his trophy in France.
That don't count, man. I don't count league Uber Eats league trophies with, right. What is it called? Mbappe and Messi and who do you have? Neymar. But you're right. He did win.
Sergio Ramos. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. All right. No, I'm just wondering because.
Yeah. Kane, I don't think it's him, though, man. I think it's the manager. I think the manager really kind of dropped the ball here on this one. Because Harry Kane is doing what he needs to be doing. It's not like he's not scoring goals. It's not like.
But that's my thing. He's always done what he's had to done. It's not like he hasn't gotten golden boots and scored goals and been the guy and gotten them all the way to a Champions League final. We've seen him do it. We've seen him go to Carabao and FA Cup and just not get it done.
This may be controversial, but I think
– Is he Luka Doncic?
He's
Alan Shearer.
I think he's better in his field than Luka is in his field.
That's crazy.
Luka doesn't defend. Like, you know, Harry Kane is an all-around player.
That's fair. I'll get you that.
If Harry Kane went to this United.
That's what I was going to say. I think he would – I think he would serve us way better, like, at United than what he does for Bayern. I think they already had a good thing going there at Bayern. I think it's when Tuchel came in and started, you know, tampering a little bit and messing with things when things kind of went south, which is weird because he's from there. That's like a Bavarian guy. I thought it would have, you know, definitely worked out. But
I'll say one thing though, for in this case of the Premier or the Bundesliga, Bayer Leverkusen is doing a mad thing. Like it's when you look at it, any other season this year, Bayern would have enough points to have won the rest of it. Like they would be fine, essentially. Like they would have been in a good strong place. And if you look at it, they lost two games. I mean, you're allowed to lose a game or two, but not one loss.
They need Xabi Alonso. Xabi Alonso.
And they got like Granit Xhaka is having a career revival over there. What is it called? They got their left back and their right back both scoring 9 goals and making 10 assists. Like that's crazy. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I saw this meme saying that Xhaka kind of kickstarted two different clubs, like the Arsenal and Leverkusen.
Facts.
Like, you know, that little project that they had going on, which I mean he's gonna get into management. Like he's a really smart player. I think that if Bayern were to go away from Tuchel, I think the obvious choice would have to be Xabi Alonso. I mean, I know people say it's either Bayern or Liverpool. I just think that the Liverpool position, I don't know. I think he's more of a Bayern guy than he is a Liverpool guy, to be very honest with you.
Yeah. I can see it.
Like, why would you want to come here and just
see why are you scared? Why are you acting scared? Wow. That's not scared. That sound like you scared, bro.
Why would he come here?
Why your voice get so timid?
No, why would he come to the Prem?
He sounds like a Bayern guy, not a Liverpool guy. No, all right, that's saying. Real scary.
I'm just saying. Okay. No, you know how players of that, you know, caliber, like they may have multiple clubs that they have played for. This guy has played for Real Madrid too.
Would you want Xabi Alonso to come to United?
He would never come to United.
That's not what I'm asking though.
I would love for him to come. I mean, okay. I would love for him to come to United, but he's a Liverpool guy though. I understand that.
But if the cards were on the table and he wanted to take on a new project,
but if he would open him
with welcome arms. That's what I'm saying.
And the only reason why I would welcome him with open arms would be that in order to play his style, we need 11 new players. So yes. I mean, like it would kind of expedite this process of, you know, clearing out the people who, you know, don't need to be here. But I just feel like coming to the Prem, I mean, I think it's a much easier road if you were to leave Bayern, the best Bayern Leverkusen, the best team currently, to go to the biggest club in Germany. You've taken away the biggest threat because you're the biggest threat. And now you've equipped yourself with the biggest team in Germany. So, like, why would you want to come here and mess with Pep and Arteta, all these other teams that are on the horizon. I don't know. I just
it'd be a tough game, but if he came here, he would definitely be choosing the harder route.
Yeah,
what he, I, cause he feels like it's like with Zidane, where I was just like Zidane wasn't. He went to Real Madrid and was like, I'm getting my three and I'm cool. Like just like, no. But
they needed where's Steven Gerrard?
Oh, no, he's been horrible, bro. Like where's Stevie G? He's in the good championship, I think.
Yeah, bring Stevie G.
anyway.
But yeah, Bayern Lazio. I don't know what's gonna happen to Bayern Lazio, but Bayern have to win. That's all that is being said.
You know how I feel about Bayern. I don't care about them, so I would love to see them lose.
I feel that.
I would love to see them lose, bro. I'm not gonna lie. I love to teams that we specifically have beef with in Champions League. I don't care. Y'all can go down.
That's us with Real Madrid. No, I feel you. If I was in Chelsea's boots, I'm like, nah, forget that. And it would bring Tuchel back to y'all.
Yeah, he ain't coming back.
Why would he come back to Chelsea? That Boley was the one that fired him. Why would he come back?
Never mind. He's not gonna come back to Chelsea.
So you guys think that Bayern will lose to Lazio and get kicked out of Champions League?
Is it their home?
They're at home.
Oh yeah, they should. This is their GRG, which is crazy.
It is their GRG.
I don't know, man. Lazio's up a goal.
I'll say this: no Upamecano or Upamecano or whatever, and that's
gonna be a chance.
That actually might help them out.
That will help them out.
Do for a red card.
He's horrible. Like he's been. Since the City game last season, this dude has got two red cards back to back in the Bundesliga and then again in the
Champions League. Oh yeah, so he is gone. So I mean, they don't have to worry about him. Immobile, which is like he's still playing. That's so crazy. I think I'm gonna say Lazio holds on and advances to the next round of the Champions League. I just think that Bayern have a lot going on and. It's the beginning of a continuation of what is going to be the end of Tuchel at Bayern.
I feel that. Any predictions for the other games? We got PSG Sociedad.
I mean,
the only really scary one is Real Madrid, in my opinion. Because they got 1-0. They got to go home, but it's just like.
Is it the Bernabeu, though, man? The Bernabeu is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, man. You already know VAR will be with them, too. I'm just saying, man. Like, I don't think that they need that. I just think that when a team like Leipzig, not that much experience, goes into an environment like that. I think that just the atmosphere and just kind of, you know, really kind of takes over, especially considering, you know, what happened in Real Madrid's last game. You know, Jude Bellingham got sent off at the end. Kind of a controversial ending to the game on how it ended. And, you know, I think if there's one team that you don't need a chip on their shoulder or you don't want them to have any motivation, it's Real Madrid. And obviously they're back in the Champions League. And, you know, Real Madrid in the Champions League is like, it doesn't really matter what's going on in the league when it comes to this. Like, it's legit, even though they're number one in the league. So, telling y'all, man, this team next year, they're trying to lock up Alphonso Davies. Like, they're gonna be on the double swag. I mean, shit, they could probably get Copa del Rey too. They're gonna be on treble watch every year.
Nah, man. And the only thing that's saving it, like, is that, you know, some other big players are leaving their teams, like, or really good players. Musiala's said he's ready to leave. Verts or whatever said he's ready to leave. There's a couple of players that if they join the right teams, we could see something happen. But other than that, it's Real Madrid all day, man. They're scary. They're a scary team.
And they just added – they just casually added Mbappe. Like, it's like – you have two of the three most electric like players in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, probably I don't even know who the third one is. I probably say just them two, Vinny and him.
Yeah.
And then don't even my boy Endrick, he's warming up. So he just got his temporary driver's license. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
question, you think he plays or does he go on loan? Because they got so many players.
No, he's not going on loan. Someone like that, you don't take him on loan. He's going to get
Copa del Rey match.
He's going to get eased in like Vinny got eased in. And I don't know if you guys remember, but Vinny had an interesting, like, betting in into the club. Like, they did it the right way with him. They didn't put too much on his plate. They were like, we need you to come in and just, like, when we're up in a cup leg, like, you come in, just kind of get your feet wet there and go from there. But, no, I don't think that. A player like him, he's ready to make an impact now, I think. Maybe not over those guys, but at this level, he's ready.
So I'll say this: Real Madrid is going to have to let go of somebody, like, because there's just the cap alone, the playing time alone. In this scenario where they're losing one person, what's one player from their team that you'd want at your teams?
Oh, it's easy. I think the two players that I see leaving for sure is Modric for sure is leaving. No, I don't think the young guys leave. The young guys won't leave. It's gonna be
Modric and Cruz.
Yeah, maybe hold on to Cruz just to kind of, you know what I'm saying.
I see, like, Camavinga leaving. He's tired,
bro. These guys are all this.
Kama's going nowhere.
These guys, no. Yo, because I mean, think about it. Like, this team is gonna be together for the next, you know, 7 to 8 years.
Yeah,
Tramini, Militao. Like we're gonna. You remember how we're used to seeing what Carvajal, Sergio Ramos, Marcelo? Yeah, bro. It's gonna be Alfonso Davies. It's gonna be Militao. The Rudiger will be here for now, and then that person will end up changing. They'll get somebody else.
The first piece to probably change.
You know what I'm saying?
David Alaba,
Saliba. They may go back in. You know, 2 years later. And then you keep going. The midfield solidified. Tchouaméni, Jude, Camavinga.
They do this every, like, 3 years. They do, like, a major haul. And then,
like, a major.
And then they just sprinkle one guy, and then he'll come 3 years later. Like, oh, I forgot. They even had boy. Like,
it's Black Excellence Ball over there, too.
Bro, they got the art.
Whole team of Black folk. That surprised me every time. I'm like, what?
Yeah. In Spain. Yeah, Madrid, too. So, that, yeah. You already know, man.
They got a goalie. I don't know who, but
that's
the thing.
Courtois will be back.
They'll go find somebody.
Yeah, Courtois will be back. Yeah, that team, they're not gonna go anywhere. The old guys are gonna leave. Carvajal, I can see him going probably too at some point, but yeah, man. Well, Prem predictions, man. The big one. Before we get to the big one, sorry, we can go in order. United versus Everton.
I got Everton, bro.
Yeah, is that who you got?
Yep.
Yep. We have them at home at Old Trafford. Rasmus is supposed to be back. So.
Oh, really?
He's supposed to be, but.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, our it just sucks, man. We can't even, like, you know, slowly transition a guy back into playing. Like, as soon as, like, you know, like, oh, it's been 3 weeks, you have to start. You know, it's like, you have to give me 90. You can't even ease into it. So it's like, but yeah, man, I think with him back, obviously it's gonna, you know, help our chances going forward, but I don't know how, but I think we'll get a draw here. Not even a win. I think Everton is fighting. They have motivation. We don't. So yeah, I think that there's going to be a draw at home, and this is going to be the first of three games where I feel like Ten Hag is really going to be, you know, under that big microscope. So hopefully he can get, you know, points and he stays around.
I got like a 1-0 or like a 1-1 with this one. 1-0. I didn't know Hoyland was being back. He's back, then I'll probably say it's 1-0 to United. But that's my.
But yeah, man, ain't it crazy that we only have one striker, like once in the whole club, we only have one striker.
Man, he's lonely up there, literally.
Even you guys, at least like Chelsea even has a Broha. You know what I'm saying? Like at least they even got someone. They have a body there. You know what I'm saying, Broha.
Who's the academy? They could produce Mainu and Greenwood and all these, and then not.
Yeah, we have one. His name is Charlie McNeil. You know where he's at? What? Somewhere in the championship. You know what I'm saying? While Martial is, I don't even know where Martial is, but
he got something going on.
Nah, yeah, he's out for the year. He's collecting a check. Contract's over at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So long. Brentford, Arsenal. I think Arsenal's at home. They're at the Emirates. I feel like Arsenal's always at the Emirates, man. I feel like these guys. And then it's just like when obviously like they play the same amount of games as everybody, but it's just like when they do have an away game, it's somewhere like Sheffield. And then everybody else, it's just like, you know, you're at home. But who do you guys got? Arsenal, Brentford?
Yeah, Arsenal, like 3-0.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, I'm going to say Ivan Toney can at least get a goal in, but 3-1 or something.
Ooh. That's my lock of the week. Ivan Toney, anytime goal scorer.
Anytime goal scorer. Yeah, I see that. I can see that.
Need the max win.
For sure. He's gonna do his thing.
That's crazy to say that's my bet of the week on after this man just got back.
Nah, I'm taking him because it's at the Emirates. You know, yeah. He's gonna try and show out. He's gonna try and
like y'all need me.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's gonna try and Jimmy Butler them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember when Jimmy Butler took on the whole Minnesota Timberwolves organization? Yeah, man. Shout out Jimmy Butler, man.
Yeah, I'll say 3-1. 3-1 to Arsenal.
Okay. Let's do your guys' game last because your guys is the biggest game. Cornelius, you guys see Newcastle. How you feeling?
I think it'll be a draw. Actually, you know what? Against Newcastle, I think we'll get the win. We beat them in a cup competition earlier this year. We've had good success against Newcastle. I'll say 2-1.
Okay. And then the match of the week, big talk match. I mean, you know, what I'm saying? Manchester City versus Liverpool. Some say this could potentially, you know, decide the league, but at least, you know, give us a clear indication on who's serious and who's not. The game is at Anfield. Solo, what are your thoughts?
I'll say, you know, before I've been keeping up with their kind of like injury return list, I was feeling a bit more confident, but now I'm seeing that like Salah's coming back. Solskjaer is back. Nunez is here too as well. So, and I think even Joe Gomez might be making a trying to rush back too. So, this is a tight one, especially it being over at Anfield. We've won there once or twice in like 7 years, and they're just extremely. They're in this like kind of Cinderella, like, oh, we have to do this type of energy. And it feels like when teams get into that mode where it's like, oh, everything is just, we'll do whatever we can to make it happen. It's hard. And since we haven't been finishing like that, I think this is the game that it catches up to us really badly. Because if we're not finishing our chances against a Liverpool side that's scoring in the 90th minute, it could easily be like 2-1 and then they get a second goal. Or they get two more goals in like the last 10 minutes or so of the game and including extra time. So I think for me, I think it's going to be a high scoring match. I'm looking at potentially a 4-3 game between Liverpool. And especially if Salah comes back, I think it's definitely 4-3 in that. I would say my lock of the week actually would be more than what's it called? Over 1.5 or over 2.5, sorry, for this 2.5, game.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say that would be mine because the way it's looking, we have to win. They have to win. Everybody's coming back around the right time. And they don't have any really big games to worry about on the horizon to like rest too many people for or focus on. So yeah. I'll take that. 3-2. Sorry, 3-2. I want to say that. That's better.
My lock of the week is Rasmus Anytime.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna side with City to get at least the draw. I think City will get points this weekend.
Yeah. That's what
crazy, bro. Because you think City is gonna get points this weekend?
Yeah, man. I think that, you know, to Solo's point, I think that Liverpool is like riding this like emotional high. Like for Klopp, and I think that at some point that's gonna, you know, catch up to them, and I think the reality will bring them down to earth. I think City is just the best team, I think, and they have the best coach from top to bottom. So like I think at some point, you know, emotions aside, I think the football will do the speaking, and like this team is just, they're too good. They've been there. They've done that. Like, this isn't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't anything new to them. And I think that not taking anything away from Liverpool's performance, I think they had a great game over the weekend for them to get the win the way they did. But, nah, man, I just, like, I don't know, man. I just don't see it. I don't see that. I don't see them walking away with a loss. I just don't see it.
It'd be really difficult to see.
You guys have all your players. They don't.
Yeah, we're right. Not missing. I think it's just Jack Grealish, and that will be fine.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, nobody, bro. You know what I'm saying? And you're talking about, you know, Joe.
That's nobody. He wouldn't be starting.
Oh, he would. What has Doku been doing, bro?
That man. I mean, yeah, Doku has been doing.
I guess you're right.
Against what's it called? Bournemouth, and hasn't done anything since. And I don't like the kid. He's 20. He's young. I'm not gonna hold him too much.
I got it wrong on him this year. I thought he was gonna make like an immediate impact, but
when
he
Grealish, hasn't
really done much.
Every time that Grealish has played over him, we've looked like ourselves last year, closer to that. Yeah, yeah. And it's because of the control. Like they just throw the ball to him, and he just like he doesn't know what to do once he's double teamed. He's like, where should I go? You can't want a 1v1. Against two people, and
bring them kids out. Young Trini's right, yeah. Bring them kids out. Dan's in there, man. Yeah, let me see Dan.
If there's a team that can counterattack with a bunch of little fast people running, they're gonna run us all the whole game. Like in terms of just having to keep up with their pace, like
bro. If they play their kids, like they're gonna get.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, yeah, they can't. Yeah,
I agree. Don't do that. I think that stuff's cute. Like that cute. I think it's great. That
you can do it against Chelsea. You can't do it against these men.
No, yeah. No. But the extra bit of pace that they can get out of them in like a substitution, the last like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they've been—it's the fact that they keep scoring at the last minute that throws me off because we are vulnerable there, and no one's tested us there, but we're vulnerable there.
Yeah, I don't see Haaland missing those chances. Two games in a row either, so
nah.
I think he's gonna get his.
Yeah.
So yeah, good stuff. I mean, shout outs. You guys have any shout outs going before we close out?
Games on.
Said Doku's learning on the job. Yeah, I mean, he is. I mean, to be fair, like, you know, everybody that comes to City the first year, it's always that adjustment period. But
yeah.
Just seeing how like quick he was, like, I don't know. I thought he was like ready now. Like I thought he would just kind of be getting at defenders a little bit more, but sure. Yeah, my shout out of the week. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Cornelius.
No, that was me. Shout out of the week. Shout out Marlo Gusto.
Yeah,
that's fair. Yeah, I was gonna say my shout out of the week is Johnny Evans. I think for him to be doing
what he's doing at this age. You know, one of the few people that to me, you know, looks like he's giving 100%. He came off the field injured. I hope he comes back soon. One of our consistent players so far this season. Shout out Johnny Evans, man.
My shout out would go to Rodri for now being the player with the most unbeaten, the longest unbeaten streak, 59 games. Just that's a crazy multi-year streak. And I don't know, man. I'm like, having a DM that's this flexible, can play in any type of like situation. You need him to break up play. You need him to start up a passage of play, score a banger whenever. And it's crazy because I think at whatever Pep wants to do with the rest of the team, he knows that he has to include Rodri in that mix. The biggest lesson was that loss to Chelsea. And since that loss to Chelsea in the Champions League final all those years ago where Rodri wasn't there, it was like, nope, put that man in every game. And he's shown why 59 games later, unbeaten. Like, that is unbelievable. So shout out him.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. It's a dope stat. Well, good stuff, guys. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Shout out to you, Young Trini, for tuning in the whole show. Really appreciate you, bro. Your support week to week. So, shout out Young Trini, man. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you in your future.